Welcome to American Education FM, everybody. I'm Dr. Sean Brooks. Ladies and gentlemen, in this episode, I have return guest and contributor to the show, Cicely Hellickson. She lives in New Mexico, and she again has been a guest on the show before, and she is a homeschool advocate and a former school teacher herself. She briefly describes again her 2020 experience and waking up process, her not participating in any of the mask wearing, shot taking, bullying, and all of the other unfortunate tactics that existed under the guise of an entire lie throughout the entire American K-12 school system, and certainly, of course, within the university school system and endless other systems, frankly. But within this particular episode, she again describes a number of things that are happening in New Mexico, specifically within education itself. She also describes, again, the very simplistic way in which she's teaching her two young boys. And what I want people to think about when she describes the simplicity of this is the peaceful nature that it really exemplifies, I think. Because you have to contrast this, and what she describes is what she's doing with her children right now, and certainly what she's going to be doing in the future, as she even alludes to some of it. But I want you to contrast that with what we hear on a constant basis about what is going on in American education, and all of the brainwashing that you're seeing in board meetings, and all of the irrational behavior, and a million other things. Contrast those two and examine those two and simply ask yourself, which one of these makes the most sense? Which one of these two options clearly sounds or looks like it is the healthier of the options? Because again, if she's doing this with her two young boys who are 6 years old and younger, why is it that a parent who has middle school-aged or even high school-aged children still sending them to those environments? Because again, if they're old enough to read and write, they're old enough to teach themselves, and if they're old enough to stay home by themselves and they're taught how to do that, then there's no reason to send them to an American K-12 school ever again. Not to mention, with this said, I'm going to have a Substack article out on Saturday morning that I highly recommend you check out, because it continues to show the hypocrisy of these school environments and the simple fact that they advocate for things without knowing what they're advocating for. They advocate for things at face value without taking into consideration what the final result of the things that they are advocating for actually entail. So again, as you hear Cicely describe her experience here with her two young boys, just use that as a contrasting example of what you hear in the news on a constant basis. Certainly all of the subjects that I bring up. Because I'll tell you, as I was talking to her and as she was saying this, there was a peace that came over my body and a warmth that came over it where I thought to myself, as she even says, this is the way it's supposed to be. So keep that in mind again as you listen to her describe this. Give this a listen, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening as always. Check out the Substack on Saturday morning on theamericanclassroom.substack.com, and I will catch you on Monday. Peace.
So for your new audience members, I have been listening since 2020. I missed a few episodes there at the beginning, but I started back in 2020. And I felt compelled to email you in September of 2021. I've been teaching for, at that point, it was 7 years. And New Mexico schools were shut down for an entire calendar year from April 2020 to April 2021. And when they announced in April of 2020 that we weren't coming back after spring break, I knew something was fishy. And that's kind of when my gears started turning and when I started to question everything. So we had returned to the classroom in little cohorts where it was five students at a time. Before that, we had been, quote, teaching online using Microsoft Teams, and we'd set up Teams meetings and take attendance by who showed up and who didn't. I was teaching third grade. I usually had about 9 or 10 at the max. So that's how we were teaching in 2021. And then in September of 2021, the New Mexico governor declared that, excuse me, as state employees, we had to wear a mask to return or, excuse me, unless we were vaccinated. So I know a lot of teachers who got jabbed just so they wouldn't have to wear a mask. And I was not buying the whole thing. I never wore a mask. Even during Meet the Teacher, I didn't have it on. And I told my parents and my students, you don't have to wear it in my classroom. Even though everybody else was requiring it.
What was the parents' response when you told them that?
A lot of them were like, oh, thank God, I'm going to take it off. And some of them were compliant. So I think it was pretty 50-50. So flash forward a couple months to November of 2021. The superintendent interrupts my class. And he pulls me out of class and he says, Mrs. Hullickson, I noticed that you weren't wearing a mask and a lot of your students weren't wearing a mask. Are you going to fix that? And I said, sure. He said, I apologize. I thought you had a break at this time. I said, well, my break's at this time. He said, okay, I'll come back during this time. Keep in mind that the principal and the superintendent are brothers-in-law.
So it's safe to say that the principal actually invited the superintendent to basically come into the building and scold you.
Yes, I think he might have said, look, I got a teacher that's not complying. Because also at that time, we had to take weekly tests and submit our results to the superintendent. And I wasn't taking those weekly tests. So I still don't know if the principal was receiving those results, but I know the school nurse was, because she was the one that would send them to the superintendent. But I do know, okay, well, let me go back to my, so he comes back during my only break of the day, and he's like, basically, look, this is a term of employment, and I said, I understand that, but this is how I feel, this is my belief, and I'm not changing my stance. Basically, I told him without saying exactly these words, it's a bunch of bullshit. And I'm not doing it. And I'm showing my students. I said, what lesson am I teaching my students when I stand up for myself and when I stand up for my beliefs? And he said, well, what lesson are you teaching them when you don't follow the directions that you've been given? Or some stupid thing.
Wow.
So we kind of left it there. He's like, just know that this is a term of employment. And then after Thanksgiving break, he emails me that Monday and says, I'd like to meet with you. Can you come to my office? I said, yes, I can come to your office after school on this day. So I go to his office and he gives me some options. And he said, because you're not complying and you're not, quote unquote, following through with your contract, these are your options. And, so I essentially I took the unpaid leave for the rest of the year, and I left December 17th, 2021 was my last date.
And then of course they reached back out to you, didn't they? And they asked you to come back.
Yeah. So they have the contracts come out at the end of the year around this time, actually April, May for next year. And my principal called me, in fact, and he said, have you thought about coming back next year? And I said, yes, I have, and I'm not going to. And he said, okay. And he let, the superintendent know that. So actually, the superintendent retired after that year. What did he? Well, actually, his excuse was he wanted to spend time with his grandchildren. But I know for a fact that he couldn't handle it. He had received so many emails and calls from parents, and he just couldn't do it anymore. And now the principal that was my principal is the athletic director. And I saw him at a baseball game last spring when it had just been announced. Which, if I'm being totally honest, he was the most qualified out of all the candidates. But at the baseball game, everybody in town was coming up to him. Congratulations, coach. It just made me sick. It made me sick. So,
how's the situation in your school district now, your old school district? I mean, I know that you still have individuals that you're either friends with or acquaintances with. And basically, what are they saying about how things are now?
Well, I have a friend who, yes, she teaches fourth grade at the school I was at. And I actually talked to her the other day. She said she's older, so she's closer to retirement. I would say, I mean, she's mid-40s. She's not too far away from retiring, but she did say she's thinking of teaching online. Like, I don't know, there's a lot of programs and where you could actually just teach online. She's like, I just can't. The morale is so bad. I hate my boss. I hate my coworkers. It's terrible. I said, you should do that. You could make your own hours. You would not have to deal with all the stress and the drama, and I think you would like it better. And then I checked the website as of March 30th. There's 8 teaching positions, a plumber, a nurse, a secretary, and a social worker.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. I was just on your district's website here, not for your building, but the whole district. You've got at least 13 positions that are teaching positions available, and it looks like you've got well over 20 or 25 positions available total.
Yeah, they keep those up. Those are like bus drivers and cooks and subs.
Yep.
They keep those up all the time. But the ones that are recent are all those teachers. Sped teachers, sped assistants. They started a bulldog health clinic where it's like, quote unquote, mental health. But you should see the lady that's in charge of it. Overweight. Just a couple random things that I noticed around town. Is at the start of the school year, all the elementary schools had brand new marquee signs. I don't know. That's just kind of random that I thought was interesting. Well, where did that money come from? Why do they have brand new marquee signs, you know? And then one of the elementary schools is getting a brand new building, totally brand new, but they're going to demolish the old one and put in a new one.
They're putting that CARES Act money to good use, sounds like.
It must be.
Yeah. Everybody knows that marquee signs are a great preventative measure against COVID.
Yeah, and it says, attendance is important. Make sure to attend. Yeah, those are just some things I've noticed around town. They are building a new, it's part of the high school. They call it a CTE building. They're saying it's coming from the ESSER funds, where it's, you know, the CTE career technical education, where they're going to have like welding classes and culinary classes. That's been in the works for several years, and it is happening.
I'll tell you what, speaking of student attendance, how is the enrollment there? Any idea?
I can answer you this. I got a text message from one of the board members of the private school asking if I'd be interested in teaching next year. So right now it's K-6, and they are including 7th grade next year.
They're certainly short on staff, it sounds like.
Yes.
Did the private schools go down the entire COVID lie too? They buy into all that?
No, actually, they opened up in 2020 as a result of that. They do classical education. They teach classical education. They teach logic and reasoning, and their history is based on the chronology of the Bible, and it's a pretty popular curriculum for homeschooling.
Again, just to refresh everybody's memory, you, of course, wrote an article for my Substack page, which is absolutely fantastic, again, describing certainly your library trips with your sons. But describe, if you can, you know, some of the routines that you have with them since you're homeschooling them.
We are very flexible right now because my oldest son is six. And so I don't do a very rigorous... A lot of people ask me, well, what curriculum do you use? Well, right now I'm not using anything. He's 6 years old. He can read, I would say, if I was going by grade level, which homeschoolers don't, he's reading third grade level. And right now I'm doing just basic arithmetic and really working on handwriting, like penmanship. My youngest son still takes naps, so it kind of helps because we do it about 30 minutes, if that. So, and then, well, what we'll do is we'll do a little bit of whatever I decide to do that day. If I think he needs to work on addition or some more penmanship stuff, we'll do that first. We'll spend a little bit of time, and then we'll read a book. For his age, I think that's an appropriate routine. He loves geography and history, and he can read maps. He taught himself to read maps. So I've got a globe. The globe that I have is so old, it still has the Soviet Union on there. But he got a science kit for his birthday. My mom sent him a science kit, and it's just like taking soil samples and setting the weather. And so I kind of go off of what he is interested. If he has a question, I'd be like, I don't know. Let's look that up. Or one day he was like, I want to do the science kit. And so we spent the afternoon collecting different soil samples around the yard and studying what type of soil we have in the yard. And for my boys right now, it's just basic experiences. Children learn through experiences. And to me, it's just everyday life. And I think, you know, as they get older, of course, we're going to have some sort of more of a structure and more of a routine. And maybe I'll get him some of those curriculum books. But right now, we do a lot of living. I bake a lot, like two or three times a week. So they like to help with that. We go to the library twice a month, sometimes more than that. The other day we worked on counting up money and counting change back. Like if you have young kids and you want a simple homeschooling lesson, plant some seeds and watch it grow. We're expanding our garden this year, so they really like that. And we've got three chickens. And my advice for if somebody has older, like teenagers, absolutely go through what they're reading and what they're looking at online. But if like you say, and like I tell people, if they're old enough to read and write, they can teach themselves. All they need you for is a facilitator. And there's tons of free resources online and books. I just found another one. Classicallearner.com is from Brett Pike. I don't know if you've heard of him. He wrote some children's books, and some of his books are about, I think the main character is a bear. He has a book on Jekyll Island. It looks like they're geared towards elementary, middle school, But how many children's books are there on Jekyll Island? You know?
True.
There's also the Tuttle Twins, those are also chapter books that talk about a little bit about, you know, the money system and just a little bit more true history. And then some other resources that I've come across is AmblesiteOnline.org, which is free. Charlotte Mason. Charlotte Mason Charlotte Mason. I threw that book your way.
Yeah. Her work's fantastic.
She was an educator in the 1800s, and she just wrote about basically how to educate your child, which is just kind of what I talked about, living life. Open the windows, go outside, go for walks, study nature. It's called Ambleside Online. It's free. And Classical Connections is another resource. It's sort of like a co-op. You can look for your area. I'm sure there's some. It's all over. I think it's once a week, and the moms have a meeting time, and then the kids have a meeting time, like a lesson, and it's just a good way to get some social time and somebody else who's teaching besides yourself. And I would also encourage everybody to find their local co-op. Ours actually just dissolved. We have one of the leaders, she got cancer, and then another leader stepped down, so they just decided two leaders was not enough for the over 90 students, so they just kind of dissolved. And I've still been in touch with a few of the other moms, where we meet a few times a month, go on field trips. Last month we went to Carlsbad Caverns. We have picnics, play dates. It's just a fun time. And the co-ops is really helpful because there's lessons and then there's like presentations. Ours was, my son had to bring, I guess you can call it show and tell. So every time we met in our small group, he had to share something that he brought, and it just practiced speaking skills. And we read Charlotte's Web as a group. Then we celebrated at the end by having a picnic, and everybody kind of dressed like a character. And so the co-ops are really helpful because you cannot do homeschooling by yourself. You need support. You need support system. And there were some teenagers. And that's a thing too, is a misconception about homeschooling that I've noticed. Well, how are they going to get socialized? Okay. Well, have you ever seen this? What happens in public school? What type of socialization is that?
Right.
I don't want my 6-year-old coming home one day talking about something that he shouldn't be learning about as a 6-year-old. I don't want him to know how to access these things on the internet, or what the latest Fortnite is, or like just what the latest celebrity. I mean, even kids his age are doing things that should not be occurring, and I don't want him exposed to that. I don't want him learning things that she shouldn't be learning from other kids that are 6 years old. Sat in front of a iPad or a screen all day, and they see things that they're not supposed to. And then they go to school and they talk about it, and my kids would be like, what? Like, my kids barely know who Santa Claus is. Like, my argument is, when in your life, besides public school, are you ever with peers your exact age, ever? You're not going to go to work and be around a bunch of 30-year-olds. The other day we went to dinner, and my oldest son, he's like, I want to order myself. And I was like, okay. And he said, I'm going to have the waitress guess what I want to order. And he did. He said, she goes, okay, what do you guys want to order? And he says, I want you to guess. And she kind of smiled. She was young. And she goes, hamburger. And he goes, yes. Or he goes, ching, ching, you got it. Mm-hmm. And she laughed. And then my youngest son, who's 3 years old, he ordered his dinner totally by himself. How many three-year-olds do you know that can do that? Like, what, you know?
The entire strangling of the K-12 system, it really does teach them to not be social. It teaches them to either conform or be ostracized.
Yeah. I mean, if you are a constant talker, your desk is going to be moved, or you're going to go to the office. If you can't stay in your seat, you're going to miss recess.
Or put on drugs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you're a boy whose body God designed you to move and to use your hands and to learn like that. They don't belong in a enclosed environment where they're not allowed to move or talk.
What are your thoughts? Let me ask you this too. In fact, before I do, let me read this real quickly. This was a comment that an individual who lives in the general New England area left me on my BitChute channel, and they make comments from time to time, and they homeschool their children, and they said this, and I think it again perfectly aligns with the way that you're doing things with your sons. They said, quote, I don't know about other people, but my kids just naturally teach themselves by being exposed to information. They said, my four-year-old is every day taking it upon himself to write letters of the alphabet, ask how to spell words, and do simple addition. He only needed a small prompt, and his curiosity takes off. I give him a 2-inch thick book that is an encyclopedia of animals, and the first time through it, I answer all of his questions, and now he knows every animal in the book. He is a sponge. My 13-year-old daughter is now doing 11th grade math and has been voluntarily studying ancient Greek for over 4 years. It's because she likes it and finds it fascinating. No one is teaching her. She's learning it herself because she's interested, unquote.
If they're interested in something, let them go with it. Because in public school, they're not allowed to expand their thinking.
Yeah. You're not allowed to have interests in school.
Yes. That's amazing. I mean, kudos to that parent, because that's 13 years old doing 11th grade math. I mean, I can barely do 5th grade math, so that's awesome. Yeah, bravo.
What do you think then about all these parents that are showing up at these school board meetings and yelling at them about the pornographic books and saying, you know, change your ways, you know, be better people. And even individuals, I saw a clip, it was on Libs of TikTok's page, but they, you know, it was this woman and she's going, I just don't understand. I don't understand these books. I don't understand, you know, this drag queen thing that you had at your school the other day. I just don't understand why this is happening. This just seems so inappropriate. I mean, what do you think about these people?
I've told you before, it's my black pill. You're gonna send your, you're gonna go to these school board meetings and yell at these morons who got 4 jabs, and their cognition has basically dissipated, and you're gonna say, "Oh, please stop putting these books on the library." Well, what's wrong with you? Why can't you take your kid out of school? And they're going to lose $8,000 or however much your kid is worth to them, and let them read their own books. If you don't want your kid to be exposed to that stuff, then stop sending them. You're going to beg the government to help you when the government is purposefully destroying you. I don't understand that. And this is going to sound terrible, but these so-called quote-unquote Christians who are sending their kids into these environments where they think they can be missionaries, I don't know what it's going to take for these parents to wake up. I really don't. I thought it came close when they in my local district, when they started segregating JAB students and non-JAB students at the high school. But I guess I was wrong.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. That's a special kind of stupid right there.
Yeah. Right?
Except for the fact that the unjabbed students are all way healthier. I mean, at least they got a reprieve from being around the jabbed. I mean, good
That's
Lord.
That's true. Segregation can be a good thing.
That's right. I'm kidding. Well, what else is going on in New Mexico regarding education? Any new news on that front?
Well, so I sent you a few things. The PED, the Public Education Department, now requires 180 days for the school year because they think that's going to help improve learning. The entire state literacy rate is 28%. So requiring 180 days isn't going to help anybody except for the PED, who's going to get the money. The governor signed into law a few of the gay, tranny stuff. It was called HB7, the Reproductive and Gender Affirming Healthcare Freedom Act. And I'll just read what it says. A public body, which includes schools, shall not deny, restrict, or interfere with a person's ability to access or provide, quote, reproductive health care or gender-affirming health care, unquote, within the medical standard of care. So that was signed in 2023. And then HB 134 was also signed in 2023 into law. Menstrual products provided free in each women's bathroom and at least one men's bathroom in every public secondary school, and one men's, women's, and gender-neutral bathroom in elementary schools. And then this year, she signed one, HB 171, changes graduation requirements starting in 2025. So it eliminates requirements for Algebra 2, AP, honors, dual credit, which were previously mandated. Instead, it, quote, emphasizes flexibility by allowing students to choose from a broader range of courses, including CTE, internships, problem-based learning, etc. My question is, what does a second grade boy who goes into the bathroom and he sees this display of like tampons, I mean, what is running through his head? Does he even notice it? And then if he does, he's going to go home to his parents and be like, why is this in my bathroom? You know?
And then the parents are going to look at him and say, well, just deal with it. Just head on back to school. No problem.
Yeah, go to school. It's all right. We'll figure it out. You don't worry about it. We'll tell you when you're older.
It's amazing. There couldn't be more of a disconnect between government and the family for the most part. At least I'd like to think so anyway. And then, yeah, of course, the disconnect between school boards and certainly, I would say, a great deal of teachers. I mean, there's a lot of teachers that just can't stand school boards.
Yes.
Again, where my niece and nephew go, I brought this up on the show, of course, a while back, but my niece and nephew go to this school, and the entire school board put out a memo on their website and then emailed it to everybody that openly said that they don't like the Ohio bill that ended up getting overturned, or that the veto was overturned that now makes all of, you know, the transgender stuff illegal. All the bathrooms are illegal. It's basically the exact opposite of what New Mexico is.
Yeah.
I mean,
they
could,
don't like it.
Yeah, right, right. And they just openly told everybody that they don't like it, not knowing that putting out such a memo would piss off endless people, including their own employees.
Right.
Certainly the vast majority, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, they're jabbed, and they're clearly not thinking.
Well, here's a story for you. You asked me yesterday. This is from a few days ago on one of the TV stations. School district that's 5 miles near the Mexico border. Illegals just walked right into the middle school and put the school on lockdown. And this happened twice at the same school 3 weeks ago. They put the school on lockdown because a group of illegals just walk right in.
Yep. And then the parents send their kids right back.
I was just about to say, the mother that they interviewed, when I send my child to school, I expect her to be safe. Oh my gosh. Sorry, that ship has sailed years ago.
That's right. Yeah, it's remarkably cliche that they would even think that, let alone say it.
And I have another friend who teaches first grade, and she says half of them can't even speak English in her class. The sheriff race, his two terms are up, so he's running as undersheriff with one of the other candidates. It's split between a guy named Martinez and a guy named Hutchinson, which I think is a great picture of this town. If not, it's probably, if there was a room of 10 of us, I would say it'd be, if I'm being honest, at least 6 of us, non-white, maybe 7. Every time I walk out of the house, I feel like there's more brown people. My son's bike got stolen. We got him a new bike for his birthday. And it got stolen in the middle of the night. I read in the paper the other day, I got a paper. I don't ever get paper, but my in-laws were in town, so I got him a paper. It said that there's 9 open positions for police officers just in my town. 9.
You know, that right there, that's interesting, because that's actually a subject I don't think I've spent a lot of time talking about, is you talk about burning the candle at both ends as far as police are concerned. I mean, clearly they don't, you know, I mean, the academies themselves have to be washing up. I can't imagine people wanting to be police officers these days, again, let alone school teachers, but.
Well, I do know part of the reason why they are so short is because they don't pay them very well. They go to Carlsbad because they have better pay. But you're right. The academy can't be pushing out great candidates. And who wants to be a cop? We've got an occasional murder every once in a while, but I think the most prevalent is robbery, or you leave your car unlocked and somebody's going to break in. And New Mexico is now considered the second most violent state in the country. There's a murder probably every weekend in Albuquerque, whether it's with guns or a knife. And the governor, don't forget, the governor made it illegal to carry a firearm in the city limits of Albuquerque, of Bernalillo County.
That's still in place?
Yes. And then so 30 days later, she's like, well, this, she amended it. This just applies for parks and, I don't know, some other public places, schools and something.
Places where you need to defend yourself.
Yes. Yep. Which they did. They did pass and sign the 7-day. Now it requires a 7-day waiting period if you want to purchase a firearm, because it's supposed to, quote, help with suicide. So if you're having suicidal thoughts and you're 21 years old and you're having suicidal thoughts and you go to a gun shop and want to purchase a gun to kill yourself, you have to wait 7 days, because that's going to give you time to think about your decision. The only exception is if you already have a concealed carry permit.
It makes no sense.
Right. When my father-in-law, who is a gun enthusiast, he has to wait every time he purchases a firearm, because he must be on some sort of list, because he has so many already. What do we need a waiting period for? Why can't I just go and purchase a firearm for myself for protection?
How is everybody handling this whole eclipse thing where you are?
I have not heard anything about it.
Really?
I mean, I don't get out much, but I did see something just scrolling yesterday. You know, my algorithm kind of pops up stuff, and it was like, here's an easy hands-on way for your students to learn about the eclipse. And it was like a little, you cut out a sun and a moon out of a piece of paper, and you put it on a popsicle stick, and it's supposed to rotate where the sun covers up the moon or something.
It's called an analog clock. And I just saw that Indiana decided to call for a state of emergency as a result of the eclipse. And then there's counties in New York that have done the same thing. And it's just getting out of hand.
I haven't seen anything, really. I mean, if I do, I'll toss it your way. But I don't know. What's the big deal? Is there some sort of false flag that they're gonna pull? Are they gonna yank our internet or something?
I have no idea. I just know that they're blaming mass gatherings and high traffic. It might slow down first responders and blah blah blah. I mean, it makes no sense. But again, stirring all this panic isn't helping anything. I think it's just showing It's showing how gullible these sheriffs are and how gullible clearly politicians are.
Is your sheriff, has he mentioned anything about it?
I don't think so. But I know that the school systems all throughout the state of Ohio are closing. Even the ones that, you know, I mean, everybody will be able to see it, of course, because it's the flipping sun. But
right.
Unless it's a cloudy day. But either way, I don't know. It's beyond confusing.
Something's up for sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you've got anything else you want to add here and let the audience know some information about anything, hit them with it.
If you, as a parent, feel the urge to pull your kid out of school, absolutely do it. You're not going to regret it. There's a reason that God woke me up in 2020, and we've been a part of Bible study, and now I'm going to be taking a leadership position in that Bible study next school year, where I'll be kind of mentoring and shepherding other women, which I feel is part of my new calling. But I will say too, don't be discouraged if you feel like you're not doing anything. If you feel like your kids aren't learning anything, they absolutely are. Read the Bible. Have them memorize scripture, have them write scripture. Don't hold back anything. If they have questions, let them go for it. Like I said, my son asked me why it was called the War in the Pacific. And so we kind of had a lesson on a little geography lesson. So it's common sense. Nobody can tell you what to do with your own children. And nobody knows them better than you do. And nobody's going to love them better than you. If you feel the nudge, then absolutely do. There's no, don't even hesitate. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you on how to raise your child and protect them. Like you used to say, never stop learning yourself.
Yeah.
I'm learning every day. They're gonna thank you for it. They're going to be better off, and you're setting a legacy for generations.
Thank you for listening to American Education FM. Make sure and check out AmericanEducationFM.com for more information. Take care and God bless.